Well, good morning, Hope Church. How's everyone today? I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us for worship this morning. I'm happy to be here to be sharing from God's Word. And just wanted to start with a question. When was the last time you found yourself doing something that you really didn't want to do? Now, maybe it hasn't been that long for some of you. The fact is, many people don't like their job. So the last time you had to get up and go to work was that time. You know, it's interesting, a 2019 Gallup poll found that 85% of the current workforce hates their job. So that means a vast majority of you have very recently done something that you really didn't feel like doing. You got up and you went to a job that you don't really care for, maybe even hate. But you know, it doesn't have everything to do with work. It could be a social situation as well. A visit to the in-laws, maybe? Now, I don't want to start any trouble between you married folks, but if you're looking at each other right now, look away. Focus up here, okay? But the fact is, you may really not care for your in-laws that much. But you have to go there, right, for a birthday or for a holiday, and you dread going there, and you can't wait until you leave. Or maybe it has everything to do with our current state of affairs that we live with in this world today. I mean, has this pandemic thing got you crazy, having to shelter at home? You don't feel like just sitting around the house, not being able to go to a restaurant, not being able to go to a mall and shop, not being able to hang out with friends or family from a different household. Up until the guidelines had begun to be relaxed in Indiana, you couldn't even meet for worship. Thanks be to God that those guidelines have been relaxed, and on June 14th, we will be able to meet again in our church building. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to look a little different, but we're going to be able to gather. But in the meantime, we've all had to do a lot of things that we really didn't feel like doing. Oh, we did them anyway because it was the right thing to do. But we didn't really have to like it. Now, I'm hoping over the last few weeks, we've learned some things that we can use in these challenging times. And the challenging times that are to come. Because there will be more challenges in life, even when we get past this. If you've been with us during this little kind of unofficial Psalm series that we've been doing, I think we've seen some things from the Psalms that speak to us in our current dilemma. If you remember, Dan Kuyper was with us a few weeks ago, and he taught from Psalm 23. And he stressed the fact that God is our good shepherd. God is our good shepherd. We are His flock. We are the sheep of His pasture. And He's constantly, constantly restoring us during these tribulations that we face in life. And, of course, this pandemic, right? God is constantly restoring and refreshing our souls. A couple of weeks ago, we looked closely at Psalm 121, and we saw how that theme of God as our good shepherd carries really throughout the Psalms, all the way through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament. God is our good shepherd. He's always watching over and keeping and preserving us, and we can trust Him. We can trust Him on this journey called life, regardless of the trials that we face. And we found that we can trust him for our eternal lives as well. Our eternity in the next life is secure in Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, laid down his life for us. And last week, we examined Psalm 80. And we learned that it's important to cry out to God in prayer. It's okay to cry out to him. He wants to hear from us. He longs for that communication. He longs for that connection. And we came to understand that it's okay to let God know how we're feeling. It's okay to express our frustrations. It's okay to express our disappointments in what's happening. We can let him know how we feel. He wants us to cry out to him, to pray to him. Restore us. Turn us. Have mercy on us. Hear our prayers. Help us in times of trouble. And these are troubling times indeed. Well, today, I'd like to remind us all that in spite of everything that's happening, and that includes this pandemic that we're dealing with, and all the collateral damage that it's caused, the damaged economy, the unemployment, having to do all these things that we really don't want to do, despite our challenges and our frustrations and our anger, we are called, friends, to praise God. We are called to praise our God. See, we cannot lose sight of the fact that we are created for God. We are created to bring him glory. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, God himself tells us that he created us for his glory. And later in that same chapter, Isaiah 43, 21, God calls us his chosen. The people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Friends, we are created to bring all of our praise to God. Now, if there is any question about who should be praising God, well, Psalm 150 makes it very clear. There it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." So are you breathing? Because if you're breathing, you should be praising the Lord our God. But we should only be praising God when things are good, right? We should only be praising God when things are going our way. That's the only time that we're really responsible to praise God, right? No, that's not right. That's not right at all. And we learn this from David, again, in the Psalms. And when we look at the life of David, what's really striking is the challenges that he faced throughout his life. Throughout his life, David was challenged. King Saul sought to destroy him and sought to destroy anyone who stood with him. Two of David's own sons tried to usurp his throne and tried to kill him. David was constantly running for his life and hiding in caves by himself. Yet in Psalm 34, he writes, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Always. We are all created to praise God at all times. In the good times, the so-so times, and yes, even in the bad or the ugly times. But one might ask, why? Why should I constantly be praising God? I mean, if it seems that he isn't taking care of me the way I think he should, why should I praise him? Seems like a legitimate question, right? And if we look to Scripture, we can answer that question. And when we're done seeking the answer in Scripture, we'll see that we are to be praising God for who he is. We are to be praising God for what he's done and what he is doing. And we should be praising God for what he is going to do. So, any idea where we might start? In the Psalms, right? I mean, that's where we've kind of been hanging for the last few weeks. Let's stay in the Psalms for the time being. And we're going to start with Psalm 104. Later on, we're going to flip over to Psalm 66 and look at some passages from there. But we're going to start with Psalm 104, verses 1 through 9. And here, the first four verses of this psalm really speak to God as the creator of the cosmos. The psalmist begins in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messenger, flames of fire his servants." So the psalmist begins here with "Praise the Lord, my soul." And this reference to my soul is really a reference to one's entire being. We are to praise God with everything we have. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then he goes on to describe God as being clothed with splendor and majesty, a clear reference to royalty, a king for sure, but not just an ordinary king. The Lord is the king of the cosmos, the king of the universe. And since he's so much greater than a human king, he is described as being wrapped in light as with a garment. No human king is wrapped in light, but the Lord is. And the New Testament also uses this imagery of light. In 1 Timothy 6:16, Paul tells us that God lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. And then it talks about God stretches out the heavens like a tent, like a canopy over all the earth. The king of the universe, wrapped in light, dwells above this canopy. And in verse 3, we see a description of the construction of God's dwelling place high above this canopy, where it talks about laying the beams of his upper chambers and the clouds being his chariot, riding on the wings of the wind. So yes, God dwells high above the earth, but he's not far removed from it. He makes the wind his messengers and flames of fire his servants. Clear references to nature, and in this case to a thunderstorm with lightning. God using natural forces to impose his will. What an awesome God! What an amazing God we serve! He dwells high above the earth, and he is the creator of the cosmos, the creator of the heavens. And then the psalmist goes on in the following verses, 5 through 9, to describe the Lord as creator of the earth. And we saw this in Psalm 121. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. There too, the psalmist recognizes God as the Lord of all creation. Here in Psalm 104, the psalmist says this. He says, He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place that you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. So the psalmist here understood that God was the creator. He was the creator of all things, and that it was He who laid the foundations of the earth. This didn't happen by chance, right? This was not some random series of events. No, God is the creator. There is a creator behind all things, and that creator is the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the faithful covenant God of Israel. The earth's foundations are solid, and they will not be moved. God holds them in His hand, and they will not be moved until He Himself moves them. And in these verses here, the writer is echoing the creation story from Genesis 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we also see a reference to the account of the flood from Genesis 7, where it says, "The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight." God's voice caused the waters to recede. And that is the voice that's referred to as thunder here. That thunder caused the waters to recede to the place that God had appointed for them. And He set a boundary for the waters so they never again would cover the earth, just as He promised in Genesis 8. So the psalmist is saying in these verses that we are to praise God. That's how he begins the psalm, right? Praise God. It happens to be the way he ends the psalm as well. Praise God. We are to praise God for who He is. He is the God of creation, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all. Praise God, friends, for who He is. You know, I mentioned before that we are also to praise God for all that He's done. And to examine this, we're going to dig into Psalm 66 a little bit. So if you want to flip over to Psalm 66, we're going to move there. Because here, the psalmist begins in verse 1. He says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious." And here again, the writer recognizes God as the God of all the earth. Not just the nation of Israel, but He is the God of all the earth, all creation. Echoing the sentiments of Psalm 150, we looked at that when we began, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And we're encouraged here to sing praises. Now, singing isn't the only way that we praise God, but it is one of the chief ways that we express our praise to our Creator. That's why our worship songs are so important. That's why they're so meaningful. And I think far too often we gloss over the lyrics to these songs without really taking the time to understand and listen to them and personalize them and internalize them. Singing, friends, is one of the ways that we make His praise glorious. I don't care if you don't have a good voice. Make a joyful noise. That's how we praise God. And the song continues, the psalm continues in verse 3. It says, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. So the psalmist here is inspiring us to speak to God, to tell Him, how awesome are your deeds. And friends, all you have to do is look around and you will see that He is the God of creation. God will triumph over all the earth. All the earth will bow down to Him. All people everywhere will one day praise Him, will bow down before Him because of His mighty power and what He has done. The deeds He has done for mankind. And then in verse 6, we see a remembrance. We see a reminder of what God had done for the nation of Israel. And we talked some last week about how important it is to look back and see all that God has done for you in the past. The psalmist here is remembering the care and the guidance and the protection that God provided when He led Israel and He led them out of slavery, out of Egypt. And then God parted the waters and He made a way for Israel to cross the Red Sea on dry land. We read about that in Genesis chapter 14. And then again when God allowed them to cross the Jordan River on dry land. We read about that in Joshua chapter 3. Remember what God has done. And then we continue in verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 66. There the psalmist writes, He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved. There's that Hebrew word, shamar, again. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He has preserved our lives and kept shamar. He's kept and preserved our feet from slipping. God, our good shepherd, has watched over and preserved us by His power. And He's kept our foot from slipping. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we learned from Psalm 121 that we can trust God because He will not let your foot slip. And because of His great deeds, because of all that He has done for us, He alone is worthy of all of our praise. Friends, remember. Remember, it's so important to look back and remember how God has been at work in your life. Very often, it's only when we look back that we can truly understand what God was up to. And that's especially true of the difficult times, those challenging times in your life, when you're honestly asking, where's God? Is God asleep? Those questions that we've asked in the past few weeks. You know, there was a time in my life when I was very far from God. Very far from God. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a good Christian home. But I turned my back on God. I turned my back on the church. I decided I wanted to live the way I wanted to live. And unfortunately, I found myself in some pretty dark places. I was lost in the darkness, wandering in a world of alcohol and drugs, and relationships. I didn't see any need for God. You know, God didn't give up on me. He kept trying to get my attention. Oh, it started out with small, still voices, but you know, I was able to put those out. I was able to dull those with the medications. But eventually God had enough. And he sent a drunk driver to meet me head on one cold October morning, and bam! There I was. Should have been killed. Should have been dead. I shouldn't be here today. But it was the grace of God that spared me that day and changed the direction of my life. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't. I was angry. I did the whole why me thing. But some years later, I was able to look back on that and see how God was at work in my life through that terrible accident. And I'll be honest, I hesitate to call it an accident because it was meant to happen. And it's something that I am compelled to tell the world about. God saved my life and he brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What else can I do but to praise him and to tell others? Actually, verse 16 of Psalm 66 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what God has done for me." The psalmist here is expressing an obligation to proclaim what God has done for him. Listen to my story. Let me tell you what Jesus means to me. We are called to share our testimonies. We're called to share our story. We owe it to our Lord and Savior. It is a form of praise, friends. It's a form of praise. And God is worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise for what he has done for each one of us. And that is send his son to die on a cross for our sins. But you know, it kind of makes you wonder what God is up to today, right? I mean, in the midst of this pandemic, what is it that God is going to do through this situation? Because he's still at work. You know that, right? God is going to use these circumstances to do something, and I believe he's going to do something great. I believe he's going to do something great through all that we're living through at this particular time. He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. He isn't disregarding our prayers. No, God is working out his perfect plan, and all of this he will use. The pandemic, he'll use the unemployment, he'll use the economy in shambles, he'll use the political divisions, the unrest, the protests, the turmoil and strife that we see in this world. He's going to use that. Through Romans 8:28, we know, Paul tells us, so we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. It doesn't say just the good stuff or the mediocre stuff. It says he's going to use everything, and that means the bad stuff too. That's why we praise him. That's why we praise him. Even though things may not be going the way we think they should be, we praise him for who he is. We praise him for what he's done and for what he is doing. One last thing before we close this up. We praise him, friends, for what he is going to do. With so many things in the world today that are uncertain, isn't it nice to know what the God of the universe is going to do? Friends, nothing should give us greater peace than to know how the story ends. And we do know how this story ends. It's in the Bible. This is God's story from beginning to end, from Genesis in the beginning, God, all the way through Revelation, through the end of days as we know them. This is God's story. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning and the end. It's all about God, and he's told us what he's going to do. In John 14, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us as well, right? Because the Gospels, the entire Bible, was written for us too. But Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to the Father. He's going to the Father to prepare a place for them and for us. And then in verse 3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? Such an unbelievable promise that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins that we might be forgiven, the one who reconciled us to the Father, the one who was raised on the third day, victorious over the grave so that we might have eternal life. Isn't it beautiful and overwhelming to know that he is coming back to take us with him, to bring his children home? And if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you can know that. You can know what he's going to do. You can know that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter the troubles or the challenges, no matter the unemployment, no matter the sickness or economic turmoil, even in the face of death, friends, we can have peace in knowing what God is going to do. And we have no other choice but to praise him for that. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he's done and what he's doing. Praise him for what he's going to do. Are you praising God? Are you praising him even in the face of these trying times, even if you don't feel like it? No matter your circumstances, do you know Jesus? And are you sure of your future in the next life? Friends, praising God should be our story. Praising God should be our song. And we have one more song as we close this service. And it speaks to the assurance that we have through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would sing this song with everything that you have. May his praise ever be on our lips. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, we praise your holy name. You alone are worthy. You alone are King. You alone are God. Father, we thank you for who you are, the creator of the cosmos. We thank you for what you've done, the way that you've blessed us, the work of the cross, that we might have salvation. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Even though we don't understand it, we thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, we just thank you so much and praise you for what you are going to do. Because, Lord, we know that we will spend eternity with you. We know how the story ends. May this be our story. May your praise be our song. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, friends, I'm so glad that you chose to be with us this morning. I hope that our worship blessed you. I hope that you were able to praise God. And we invite you to come back. And if there's any additional information that you're interested in, feel free to go to our website, hopechurchlowell.com. There's more information there. Remember, on June 14, we're going to be having our first live service in our building. It's going to look a little different. There's going to be physical distancing and some other precautions that we're going to take. There'll be a lot more information coming out about that in the next week or two. But in the meantime, we are going to have a cleanup day. We've been doing some construction. We moved a wall, and we need to clean up after all the construction's done. And we're going to do that on Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th. And if you're able to help or you can help for any portion of those days, please contact Laura Paulson. Laura Paulson at 708-466-6631, Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th, because we're really looking forward to the 14th. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. In the meantime, go with this blessing. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the praise and glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.